Hello and welcome back to the Finding Your Feet podcast, a podcast show dedicated to helping you get closer to your true authentic self by helping you find your feet in life. This is episode 69.
Welcome back, guys. You are in for a treat today. Let me just start off with that. This episode is phenomenal. And I know it's our own podcast and we're saying that, but this, I think this is one of my favorite interviews we've done. The guest we've got today is going to blow your mind. The conversation was shooting off in all kinds of directions. We've gone deep on manifesting, on all these brain waves of like all this stuff we've been speaking about recently to do with the Dr. Joe Dispenza meditation that Abby did when she went crazy into the vortex. You know, you guys have been curious about that since. You've been messaging us, asking us about it. Some of you are reading his books. Max, who we have on the show today, he is a hypnotherapist. He's just a coach. He's just a whole lot of things. And he knows so much about Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, and he integrates a lot of it into his own practices. So he shares that vast knowledge with us today. So we've got answers on all the things that we've been curious about and that you guys have been curious about as well. It's such a good conversation. This is quite a long interview, but we could have gone on for hours. It's just such a good conversation. I can't wait for you guys to hear it.
Yeah, it was honestly so fun. I feel like we could have spoke for hours and hours.
Yeah,
I was like,
this is
going on for ages. But as well, it's just like the energy. Like, he's such a nice guy with such good energy.
Yeah, really, like, really good energy.
You're going to learn so much. So definitely pick up a notebook because, oh my God.
Yeah.
So many good things.
You're going to be pausing this podcast and writing things down and wanting to rewind, go and listen.
But before we get into this incredible interview, we just have our Apple Podcast review of the week. And this review is from HanHan505. She says, changed my whole energy. Obsessed with both your vibes, so positive and wholesome. Self-love webinar was a game changer, and I'm honestly a different person with a completely different outlook. Can't wait for all the other amazing things you will be doing in the future.
Oh, love that.
Thank you so much, Hannah. We also always see you on the Instagram. You're a great support. And I'm so glad that the self-love webinar really changed your mindset that much. It's incredible.
Yeah, that is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for leaving that review. It's really, really lovely. And thank you for your endless support of us and this podcast. And the self-love webinar, we are going to be bringing it back. So we will be doing it again very soon. So make sure you guys are following us on Instagram at Finding Your Feet Podcast to find out when we are releasing the next date of the self-love webinar, because it's going to be sooner than you think.
But without further ado, let's get into this mind-blowing conversation. Okay, so I'd like to start by welcoming Max onto the show. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on our podcast.
It's totally my pleasure.
So I don't know if you guys actually saw on Instagram the other day, I basically discovered one of your videos and I was like absolutely amazed. I was like, just done Dr. Joe Dispenza's breathwork, which we will get into later because I'm just amazed by it all. And I watched this video and I was like, who is this guy? He knows so much. I feel like the information just like pours out of you. Like, I find you really inspiring. So me and Chris are like, we need to get him on the show. We need to talk to him. So Max, if you could just start by telling us, our listeners, a little bit about you and how you got to where you are now.
Definitely. So I'm a hypnotherapist. So I use hypnosis. I've coached people for a while, but I sort of stumbled across hypnotherapy and absolutely fell in love with it and saw like dramatic shifts in people's lives. So I thought, I've got to learn this. I love the idea of it and really understood it. But before, I was taking drugs. I was on cocaine 3, 4, 5 times a week. I was drinking all the time. I was smoking weed. I was literally everything other than heroin I pretty much took, and steroids. I didn't take steroids either, but I did contemplate it. And I was just in a really bad place for a long time. And then after coming off all of that, I got really bad anxiety, depression, and recently only just found out that I had suicidal thoughts, because I didn't really look too much into it. I never really spoke to anyone, but I was reading someone who was talking about suicide and stuff like that the other day. And I was like, those are the type of thoughts I actually had. Not that I ever tried to take my life or anything, but those thoughts were there. And it was just a pit of just pain. Like, I'd been through a lot in my life from my dad being very aggressive and abusive and bringing, like, my mum's always loved me and still, like, I've got really good relationship with my mum, but I don't speak to my dad and very aggressive, very abusive. And I always wanted to be like him. So I wanted to be a man. And from my opinion, what a man was from what he was portraying was get in fights, be aggressive and just do what you need to do and be like the caveman version of a man, like just attack sort of thing. And that was the road I was following until eventually I sort of stumbled across personal development. I stumbled across Tony Robbins, actually, when I was in a lot of pain and anxiety. And yeah, from there, it just sort of progressed. And I'm sure we'll dive into it. But for there, it just progressed into doing what I'm doing now. And when I healed myself, I was like, I've got to help other people do this as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love how, like, it sounds like you've come really far, especially if you were kind of like into all those drugs and stuff. Do you think, because I know I did watch a video and you was talking about that, like how you were like in your bedroom and you was like, what am I doing? What was it that actually made you turn your life around? Because I feel like a lot of people might even be listening to this and they might, maybe not to a massive degree, but they might be in like a bit of a rut, not knowing like what next steps to take. They want to kind of develop into something new, kind of like the way that you did. What changed your mindset at the start?
It was two things. One of them was laying in bed. It was literally like a beautiful afternoon. I was laying in bed, literally shaking. And that night I'd been out. I probably got back at about 11 in the morning, drove home completely high off my head, like out of it. And then I was laying in bed and my mum came in and she was like, do you want to go to a barbecue? And I was literally laying there shivering. And like you said, you probably saw it. And I just said, I was like, no, I'm too tired. But I couldn't stop shaking because I was just so high. So that was like one time where it was just like, what am I doing in my life? I remember laying there just like, I am such a loser. All I was trying to do was trying to copy the cool kids and fit in with everyone and like take drugs because it was the cool thing to do, party because it was the cool thing to do. And then the second thing was my dad actually attacking my mum, and that sort of made me look at him and say, I'm literally copying him. Like, he smokes, I smoke. And he didn't know that I knew he smoked. He takes drugs, I take drugs. He drinks a lot, I drink a lot. He gets into fights, I get into fights. He's a builder, I'm a builder. So it was literally, I was becoming a carbon copy of him. And from a young age, I've always naturally wanted to be kind and caring to other people, but I would always do stupid things. Like, even down to things that I would walk home with my friends and I would kick car wing mirrors off because I thought it was funny. And it's like now, like, imagine someone did that to me. I'd be so annoyed with that. I'd be like, why would you do that? And thinking back to like all those things that I used to do, it really was the point of literally like shaking with fear because my body just couldn't cope. And then the other thing of sort of contemplating, I'm going to become him. And that was one thing I never wanted. So they were the two biggest things that shifted me personally.
Wow. I think it's so of clear how much you have literally turned your life around. And I just think that physical evidence for people to see now, like the power of your transformation, will just be so inspiring for them if they're in a dark place as well. Just seeing somebody else, how much they can come completely full circle, even when you were literally at that point where you're at, where you're like, you were always high, and you know, to turn it around how you have, it's very, very inspiring for people to hear. But I'm really curious about the hypnotherapy stuff, because I've actually been hypnotized before once in a therapy session, and it's the first time I've ever done it. I didn't know that she was going to do it to me. I just went in, she was like, okay, so today I'm going to hypnotize you. And it was honestly, it was, I'm glad that I didn't know, because I didn't think about it. Like, and I just relaxed straight into it. And it was one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. And I had what you were saying before, where you were like, it's like that, like instant results you can see in your clients when you hypnotize them. That's what I had, because I just saw visions of my future, of everything at that point that I thought wasn't possible or that I couldn't do. That was all there, like clear as day in my mind when I was being hypnotized. And straight away, I came out of that with a completely different feeling and went on to such a higher trajectory, and really got, like, it was such an instant flick of so many, getting rid of so many of my limiting beliefs. I couldn't believe how powerful it was, and it was such a beautiful experience as well. Like, I everyone needs to try it, but I don't know really like any of the, you know, the psychology behind it, like science behind it, like anything of what's actually going on. But obviously I have experienced it myself and I know how amazing it is. But so I'd love for you to just explain like what it is that actually happens and why does it make you have that instant results, and why is it so powerful? And
So hypnotherapy hypnosis in itself is just a state of mind. And if you listen to Joe Dispenza, he talks about the brainwaves a lot. Now, in your waking daily life, like, we're in brainwave beta right now, having this conversation, we're in complete consciousness. You move down to the next brainwave, which is alpha, which is more relaxed. You're chilling out. Maybe when you're watching TV, literally people sit there with their hands behind their head with their legs crossed. They're actively putting themselves into alpha. And there's sort of like these little tricks that you can use that can actually put you into these states. And then theta is sort of the hypnosis, the deep meditation, or people have probably heard of like hypnagogic states. And then below that is delta, which is deep sleep. Now, there is gamma, which is like a heightened awareness. Theoretically, it's above beta because of the amount of hertz and the frequency that's in your brain. But it's seen as below delta because it's more of a transcendental experience. So if you've seen Joe Dispenza's work, a lot of people go into gamma and they have these amazing, incredible spiritual experiences. But hypnosis in itself is just a process. I thought it was something magical. I thought it was something incredible that you really had to be a genius to learn, when it's really not. It really isn't. Like, I learned to hypnotize someone very quickly. Now, obviously, I went through the courses and the process and actually getting qualified to do it like properly. But to learn to hypnotize someone is very simple. It's just because I do it all on Zoom. So my type of hypnosis is just language based. Whereas some people, you probably see people like pulling their arm and saying sleep, and then they just sit like that. That is hypnosis as well. That's stage hypnosis. And a lot of stage hypnosis, if you watch movies or you see anything like that, you see it and you're like, oh my God, they're in trance. They are under their mind control or something like that. And it's like, they're not really. Like, all it is just making people suggestible and getting people to follow along. So for example, the way to actually hypnotize someone, the first few things you need to do is just get them to follow a few steps. So for example, you'll notice if you watch someone doing street hypnosis, you'll be like, oh, can you just stand here? Can you just open your legs a little bit? Can you just like stand up tall? Can you take a deep breath in? All they're doing is getting them to follow instructions. And that's really all hypnosis is. Now, you can do it in all these different ways, and you can hypnotize someone in an instant where you do like pull their arm. But again, you're programming them to say, when I say the word sleep, you won't go to sleep. You will just go into a sleep-like state. I don't really do that type of hypnosis personally. Maybe I will in the future, but I just haven't really done too much of it. But what you're doing is, when you're in a brainwave of theta, you're very suggestible. So me saying, go to a time where you felt complete courage, complete confidence, complete strength. Your body can actually feel the emotions. And when you're in hypnosis, your body can't differentiate between what is real and what is imagined. So if you're feeling, you're going back to a time where you looked in the mirror and you just thought, I look good. I feel great about myself. And you're really feeling that, your body actually thinks you're experiencing that in the moment. So if you create that as much as possible, you actually create new connections in your brain. Now, I'm not a neuroscientist. I'm not a quantum physicist. I'm not anything like PhD level or anything. And I was having this conversation the other day, and I was saying, I don't think I want to, because the information's out there, it's readily available, so I can still learn it. I just don't have the credentials or whatever. But I know a fair bit about how it works, and I'm really focused on making the change happen. But once you get into that theta state of mind, it's just very suggestible. And like I said, I didn't say this, but children are from age 0 to 7 are in theta. So that's why children grow up. And if you grow up in a poor family, you're always told money doesn't grow on trees. You've got to work hard. You need to do this. You need to do that. You don't deserve this, which then they grow up and they begin to run out these programs in their life. Whereas when you are born into a rich family, you can do everything wrong for your whole life. You can say, oh, I'm not going to get that, but you can still make a lot of money. And I just use that as an example because it's you can actually like see it physically. Mm. And you could do everything completely wrong, but still get the right results because your programming is, well, I'm just wealthy. I just am abundant. And you look at it in these different ways, and even like diving into like things like law of attraction, how do you manifest anything? You become it, and then it comes to you. And if you look at people who don't believe in spirituality or the law of attraction or anything, like let's say like one of my mentors, he's an extremely successful business guy, doesn't believe in anything that I say, anything besides like psychology, like anything past that is just too crazy for him. But when he started his business, he became the CEO before he became the CEO sort of thing, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. My God, it's literally fascinating. I'd love to talk some more actually about how the link to manifesting, because all of our listeners love all that, the concept of manifesting and everything. So I'd love to go more into that, because I find the brain like really feeling it before it's actually real, like all of that's so interesting. I think that's sometimes what people find a bit confusing. But it, yeah, because when I got hypnotized, that's what it was. It, what I saw, these projections of my future, felt so real when I came out of it. They felt like it had happened, and it was crazy. But it was that was why it had such a profound, instantly life-changing effect on me. And it's just wild how you can do that in half an hour. Like she, you know, what you were speaking about before when you were saying how you do like the languaged ones. That's what she was doing to me. It wasn't on Zoom, it was in person, but it was absolutely amazing. But like manifesting then. So how could people at home, obviously, if they like, how can they essentially sort of hypnotize themselves with to link it into manifesting, like to start really visualizing what they want? What is there in terms of like all the brain waves, what's the best way for them to, you know, like go into that, to get into the most powerful waves to bring it into your reality?
Love it. I love that question, because one of my goals is to help people become their own coaches or therapists. Like I say my business model it's not sustainable. Well, it is, but it makes me work harder because I've got to reach more people, because I say we work for 7 weeks, we get the results you want. If you have an issue, we remove it, we plant new seeds and let that grow. So in 7 weeks, we can sort out anything you're struggling with. Whereas some people will go to years upon years upon years of therapy. And I don't like the idea of that. I don't want to keep someone for years. So I want them to become their own hypnotists. And I say, I've made a self-hypnosis course to really like explain it in detail. And that can allow anyone to learn how to hypnotize yourself. And it really is simple. As I said, it's like following a recipe. If you follow, there's a 7-step process in the course where it just basically gets you from what is the outcome you want to achieve, putting yourself, doing a hypnotic induction, deepening yourself, putting yourself in hypnosis, creating the future, like Joe Dispenza says, creating it in here. But the way you actually get into that is through all these different techniques. And I'll give like one example. There's a couple of my favorite ones. I won't do it. Maybe we can do it after if you want. But there's a couple called like the finger lock induction, where you literally get your fingers to stick together. There's another one where you literally like, have you ever sat there and looked out a window and literally just daydreamed like that? Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
basically, you were hypnotized. You were in that. You were moving into that theta state, because all hypnosis is just a focused state of relaxation. So if you allow yourself to focus on something. So for example, one of the things I used to do, I used to stick a sticky note on my ceiling in my bedroom. And when I would lay there, I would stare at it with my eyes slightly up. And the reason I put my eyes up is when you lift your eyes up, you actually create alpha waves in your brain. So you can sort of hack that in the course. It's like hypnosis or theta hacks, or I can't remember what I called it, something like theta hacks for hypnosis. And there's all these little things. So staring at something begins to take your focus off everything else and focused on one thing, which begins to relax you. It's like, for the great example is, what is anxiety? Oh, I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to feel bad, then I'm going to get people laughing at me, then this, and everything is just going around your head, literally just bouncing off the walls, just making you feel like you're going insane. Whereas what's relaxation? Nothing's on my mind. So then it's saying, how can we get there? And focus is a really good way of doing it. And if you have like one thing that you can focus on, like, I don't know, I've got the door handle, I can look at the door handle and really just focus in on that. And then you can begin to feel yourself relaxing. And then all these little things where you can literally put your eyes up. And if you guys try this now, if you just close your eyes, but try and lift your eyes up, you'll begin to feel that flicker in your eyelid. Just try it.
Wait,
just try it.
Do you close them and lift them up? Close them up.
Okay, so look at your eyebrows and then close your eyes. Try and close your eyes, and you'll probably feel that flicker in your eyelid.
I think I've actually tried this before. I remember hearing somewhere that like it helps you visualize or something.
It gets your brainwaves to alpha, and basically, what's the goal? To relax your body. Now, if you relax your eyes and you feel yourself like that, like when you go to sleep, what do you do first? You don't sit there with your eyes open trying to relax your whole body. Yeah. You close your eyes and try and go to sleep. You just allow yourself to go to sleep. So if you get into that state and you're literally doing that, eventually your eyes get heavier, and then you're literally, your body suggesting to you, oh, you're getting more relaxed, you're feeling more relaxed, you can go deeper into sleep. And then the hypnotist will say certain words, certain phrases, and sort of mix different things around. And that's sort of the mechanics behind hypnotic language, is what you say, how you say it, when you say it, and allowing them to go into hypnosis. But there's all those little things that you can do. But the biggest and best thing you can do is just have some sort of self-reflection. And when, because I use the word self-hypnosis, meditation very interchangeably. whenever I meditate, I do self-hypnosis. And that's sort of what I say. It's just a deeper, a quicker way of going into meditation, really. But also when I meditate, I pretty much only do visualization meditations. Like for me, I feel like I've cleared a lot of the stuff that's in my past. All that stuff's just gone. So for me, it's now creating who I want to become. And from Joe Dispenza's work, when you create it in here, it comes to you. And I've seen amazing things manifest in my life, from things like Tony Robbins tickets to payments being paid off to literally money being received into my account from out literally out of nowhere to the car I got to just loads of different things. I've got so many great stories of manifestation, which I'm sure you guys probably want to hear if your viewers don't mind that.
Definitely. Oh my God.
No, it's so interesting. And I also love how you're saying that like hypnosis is kind of like, not like a fast track, but it's like that way to get into your subconscious much quicker. Like you don't have to go to years of therapy. I remember once like hearing Marissa Peer say that like her whole thing is about the idea that like if you break your leg or something, you go and like you get it sorted. Like it's very immediate. Whereas then when it comes to like our own beliefs, sometimes we'll work on them for years and years, but with things like hypnosis, you can actually achieve it so much easier. But as you were saying there, it's kind of like about rewiring the thought. So is that basically just like, say if like one of us was to be hypnotized, it's about going back and rewiring those subconscious thoughts? Because obviously we do like try and do that all the time, but because they are subconscious, they're really hard to get to. But is that basically what hypnosis is then, like rewiring those thoughts?
Yeah, so what I say to people is when I do a call with someone, I always do a free strategy call. I call it like an energy reading or something like that. What we do is we go in and imagine your subconscious beliefs as a tree, and you can chop off every branch of that tree. Let's say it's anxiety, fear, stress, abundance blocks, limiting beliefs, all these branches of this tree. You can chop them all off, but the root is still in the ground and that still grows. So when I work with people, I always say, why don't we get to the root cause? Because then if we get to the root cause, you'll begin to reduce your anxiety. You'll begin to reduce your limiting beliefs. You'll begin to reduce your abundance blocks. And when you actually reach the root of it, you do, it's like pulling out, and I always say, you pull out the old tree and let's plant a new one. Now, this new tree won't just grow overnight, but you can begin to water the seeds every single day. And like you said, I know a lot about Joe Dispenza. Reason being is because I listen to the man 24/7. I kid you not. In like at night, I listen to him like on my TV. I turn it really low volume and I just listen to him in the night. Because again, when I'm in a delta state, I'm still receiving information. When I'm going out for walks, I'll listen to Joe Dispenza audiobooks. I'll watch the videos. I'll drive my car. I'll be listening to Joe Dispenza. And I'll be out for a walk. I do like walking meditations, and I'll do like the equivalent of Joe Dispenza's walking meditation, literally rewiring my mind while I'm out for a walk. People think I'm probably listening to music. I'm literally in my mind just like just creating whatever it is that I want in my life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that is amazing. That is amazing. Yeah, so I'm dying to talk about Dr. Joe Dispenza because he's just incredible. And yeah, I don't even know where to start because I feel like there are so many amazing things that he does. But yeah, basically, obviously, the reason that I did find you was because I had started doing his meditations and like mainly his breath work. And then literally, like the first time I like did that breath work where you have like that brain orgasm, what they call it, the morning of, we were recording a podcast that day, and I like experienced it, and I had no idea I was going to experience that. And I was literally, wasn't the day so weird?
Yeah, like I came around to Abby's house and her energy level was like nothing like what she's normally like. She's normally pretty good energy. She's quite relaxed, she's pretty calm, quite mellow, but always pretty good energy. But she was like up here, she opened the door and she was like, hi. And I was like, oh my God, what have you been doing this morning? Yeah, like your energy was completely different. Like, and I could really notice it, such a significant difference that I was like, it's like a different person is in the room, right? Not in like a bad way.
No, I know what you mean.
But that's how significant it was. And then, we went and like recorded a podcast. And I mean, we might have just been being hyper and being weird, it was like the energy of coming off of her, I was getting sucked into it with her, and we couldn't stop laughing. We were trying to record a podcast for about 3 hours and just couldn't stop laughing, couldn't get our words out, cracking up. And it was, I honestly started to feel like I was high or something, because I've just felt like, and I hadn't done this crazy meditation, I was just in her presence. That's after she'd done it. So yeah, but I still haven't actually tried it. I'm like, you I'm a bit scared. I don't know. It just,
There's a guided process on my YouTube.
Okay, I'll try your one.
You need, yeah, but it's like the same thing. But exactly, that's why I said you need to just like, because obviously I was reading the book, so that's why I was doing them. And then I was like watching videos and stuff. So then I was like, okay, like, I was kind of like open to it, but I feel like once you learn a bit more, I think that's easier.
And you understand what's going on.
But what just amazes me, and that's why I want to hear, because you explain it really well and you explain what's going on, because I tried to explain it on the podcast and basically I don't think I did it any justice whatsoever. But every time, so I've started doing it all the time now, and I do it like almost every morning. And I just have this really overwhelming feeling when I'm doing it. I'm like, how the hell does everyone not know about this? Like, how is everyone not doing this? Like, it literally blows my mind. So yeah, please explain to us like what is going on, especially with that breath work, with like moving the energy.
So what you're doing, and again, I'm from my present state of ignorance, I'm maybe butchering his work, so I don't know. But what I do know is that what you're doing is you're drawing the energy from your survival centers, which are the chakras. So I don't know if you're familiar with chakras, but you've got all these energy centers in your body. You're moving the energy from survival to creation. And when you go up to like your first three are mainly the survival centers, then your heart chakra, which is obviously the loving energy, and that's what can get you into the brain and heart coherence. And what probably happened when you were in that high energy, Abby, you gave off that basically you project out, I can't remember, I think it's 2 or 3 meters wide, like you up to 2 or 3 meters wide of like basically love. That's literally what it is.
I was in your love bubble that day. That's why it went so, went so crazy, because I was like, you pulled me in.
I did.
Brilliant. But essentially, that's what it is, I suppose. And it's like if you walk into a room and you're like, oh, you can cut the tension with a knife in here. Exact same thing happens.
Yeah.
It was just a different emotional state. That's the difference. But when you go to like the third eye or the crown chakra, they're the more spiritual centers. The all-seeing eye, and obviously the connecting you to source. When you sort of move energy to those places, then you do just begin to shift. Like you start to see things differently. Like for example, looking at I'm vegan, for example, and when I originally went vegan was because it was health benefits. But now the reason I'm vegan, I sort of look at it and I can't not see what I used to see, which, oh, I would rather eat meat and it tastes good. I was like, but I personally don't want an animal to die because of me. And it's just a different way of seeing things, I think. And I could be wrong, but it's just that third perspective. It really is a third perspective. Again, I used to think people who meditated were completely crazy. I now look at people who don't meditate, I'm like, you're crazy. Like, start meditating. Stop being stupid. I'm literally like, but before I used to be scared to what people would think about me if I meditated, but now it's just me. It's like, I'll sit on the beach and I'll be doing a walking meditation and listening to chant music and stuff like that. I'll be sitting on the beach just meditating, people walking past me, or sitting in my car, meditating and just stuff like that. And now it's normal. But what's happening in the breath, like I said, you're sort of drawing that energy up to the more spiritual centers to create rather than to survive. And what happens in life is most people get put into survival. For example, you need money to have a house. You need a house to live. You need food to live. So you need a job. And there's so many things we need to survive from. Even down to like when you're put in the fight or flight mode a lot of the time, which is through your coworkers who start taking the piss out of you, and you start to get really annoyed. You don't know what to do, so you run away, you fight back, you hide, you don't really know what to do. And there's a lot of things that happen in the external world, but what this work does is it brings your external, it pushes your external away and brings yourself back inside. And a great quote I saw when I was in Bali is, it was, he who look outside dreams, he who look inside awakens, or something like that. And what I completely agree with is the fact that when you look inside, you begin to see things differently. You look at your past and say, yes, I went through a lot of drugs. Yes, I used to get into fights all the time. Yes, I've done some awful things in my life. Yes, I've been through a lot of pain. Yes, I was laughed at for doing stupid things, and I had a lot of trauma, and like my dad was very aggressive. But now I look at it and I'm like, thank God I went through that, because that gives me more of a story to help more people. I literally think about it and I'm like, I'm so glad I went through that. And again, I could be completely wrong with his work. I'm just going from what I've taken from it. And it's helped me see it from a different perspective. And the only way we change our perspective is when we change our energy. And I literally just did a video. Let's see if I can grab my phone. Have you guys read Power versus Force, actually?
No, but someone told me to read it years ago, and it's literally on my list. I heard it's really good.
Okay. So basically, in the book, there's Power versus Force and then Transcending Levels of Consciousness. And they're such great books because it basically, his name's David R. Hawkins, and incredible man. And he's basically made like a chart. It's like a triangle. It looks like an upside down triangle, and it's sort of like the lower levels of consciousness versus enlightenment. And the lower levels are, I believe it is shame. I think it's shame. And depending on what energy you resonate at will dictate sort of how you're feeling on a daily basis. And I don't know if you've ever heard the analogy of what's it called? Like the central heating or something like that, or a thermostat. If a window opens and you've got the central heating or the thermostat on 30 degrees, then the room will cool itself down until it reaches 30 degrees again, and then will kick itself back in. So you're always sort of resonating at your level. You can go a bit above it. You can go a bit below it. I hope this makes sense. What happens is you're naturally going to stay at a level somewhere. In the book, he gives you a chart, and you can find the chart online if you just type in Power versus Force chart. And it basically shows you all these different levels. So I think it's like 1,000 being enlightenment. And I believe it starts at 20, which is shame. Now, if you look at the chart, anger is actually above guilt, shame, desire, I believe. So I was making a video and I was saying it actually makes sense for you to be angry in certain things. So, for example, like I don't know what's happened in your guys' life, but has there ever been anything that you've just like, right, enough is enough, I am not taking that anymore, whether that's a person, a relationship, a job? Have you ever just sort of said, enough is enough, I am just pissed off of that, or anything like that?
Yeah. And then made a change. Yeah,
exactly. So what's happening? You're moving to anger, which is another level of consciousness. And then when you move from anger, the next level's up, you've got willingness, neutrality, and courage. Acceptance. Somewhere. I can't remember the exact, you'd have to check it out for yourself. But acceptance is really the change, the goal where we want to get to, I suppose. Because when we accept something, and I suppose when you get to a place, you can either change something or you can accept it. If you can't change it, then you have to accept it. It's like if I'm on a plane and the pilot says, Mayday, Mayday, we're going down, I can't fly a plane. So I'm not going to say, right, that's it. I'm in. I've got this, because I can't. My only logical reaction can be, if I survive, I survive. If I don't, I don't. And there's nothing I can do about that. And that's the way that I sort of see these really negative situations. And as I said, the goal is to really get yourself from wherever you are, know where you want to be, and start to take the next logical steps to get there. And this really is sort of using breath work, using meditation, using therapy, using all these different things to really get you to that place, if that makes sense. So basically, you've got the levels of consciousness, and your body can actually, with muscle testing, which you don't need to do it with two people. You can do, there's a little experiment you can do by literally putting your fingers like that, asking yourself a yes, no question, and your muscles test strong if it's yes, and your muscles test weak if it's no. Now, obviously, it's pretty much that, but I would recommend just like actually understanding it before you do it, just testing it on loads of different things. But your body is such an incredible thing that will know whether something is good for you, something is bad for you, even down to foods. Like people will place foods over their gut, and they will test whether they have like any allergies and any things like that. One of the guys that I speak to, he does like a chakra healing on me sometimes, and he always muscle tests my chakras, which ones are in alignment, which ones are out, and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, in order to go up your level of consciousness, you need to begin to make the next logical step. So for example, if you're feeling shameful, you're feeling guilty, it actually makes sense for you to get angry and say, I am actually pissed off that I've been feeling this way for so long. I do not like feeling this way. And getting angry actually helps. Not getting angry to the point where you just start punching people and stuff like that, but getting angry with things that are going on. And then once you get to anger, you can say, well, how do I actually want to feel about it? I actually just want to feel neutral. I just want to feel just willing to make the changes, and then slowly moving up to acceptance. And then when you move to places of love, like you said, Abby, when you were in that state of what felt like love, like it resonates to other people around you, because mm-hmm. energy is contagious. And if you look at it on a molecular level, we're made up of energy. My phone's made up of energy. My camera's made up of energy. Like if you zoom in deep enough, and again, I'm not a scientist, but if you do zoom in deep enough, you see that everything's moving. So if we can feel, and essentially it's like having a an antenna, the fact that we're connecting is because our frequency on Zencaster is connected. That's the only reason. Yeah. If you were on like 0.1 hertz out, we wouldn't be connected right now. And humans are the same. When we move into those higher vibrational frequencies, we manifest things, we manifest people. And it's like people say, oh, it just goes wrong. It always goes wrong. My life's awful. Everything bad happens. Versus the people that say, I'm just so lucky. I don't know how, I'm just lucky. How do those people's lives play out? One plays out, they get opportunities, luck comes to them. The other person gets sick, gets ill with disease. They lose money, friends die. Like all these negative things happen. And yes, I understand that it's not as easy as just like, oh, just think positive, because it's not just think positive. It's about actually changing at an energetic level. And that's sort of where the work comes into play. And especially with Joe Dispenza's work.
It's absolutely fascinating. I feel like we could speak about this all day. Mm. It's just so amazing. You know what you were saying, like how we're tapping into each other's frequencies now through like the website we're recording on. It's like when it's as well when you're thinking about someone and they text you, the text comes up straight away. Like that's such a clear example of when someone is tapping into your frequency and you're tapping into theirs. Like when they just come into your mind and you get a text, like that's a clear example. They were thinking about you and you've picked up on it because they've come into your thing. Like I do it quite a lot actually, where I think about other, even just really random people that I've not seen for ages or whatever. And then next week I'll be walking down the street and I've not seen them for years and they walk past me. Like things like that happen to me quite a lot now, where I've tapped into their frequency or they've tapped into mine, and then they are there in my physical reality. But also what you were saying, you know, about how you can ask a question and put your finger through you and pull and you'll feel the muscle thing. So because a lot of our listeners are very interested in like the intuition and being guided by your intuition to make like your choices, rather than going with like your logical mind, go with what like your gut feeling is. And we had an email the other day of someone saying that basically they're at a crossroads about what to do on a situation. They've gone through their whole life like literally listening to their gut for all the answers and making all their decisions, and it's paid off very well for them from their gut. And now they're at this crossroads where they've got two choices to make and they can't. She was like, my gut's just gone quiet. So like that thing that you were saying where you can put your, so that could that work like for in that sense of, right, my intuition's gone quiet, but I actually really need to call on it, like sort of think of the question in your mind of what it is that you want in the answer. And then I'm not saying literally leave all your life decisions to how you pull on your fingers, but is that like a technique that they could use just to maybe tap in a bit to see what, like, if you're listening to this podcast right now, you can't see what I'm doing with my hands, but could they do that to, just to like, as a grounding technique to maybe just get back in touch with their intuition, where obviously it's gone a bit disconnected and they can't. Well, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Do you know what? I don't actually know. I don't necessarily use it for that specifically. The way I use it is to really test, like what level of consciousness I'm at. That's one of the things I'll do. Or testing, it's really yes or no answers. So I suppose I personally couldn't give you a definitive answer, but why not? Why not? Like it's the same for like if I've got two different choices, sometimes I'll literally flip a coin. If I don't like what I got, then I'll choose the other option. And that's a very simple way to do it. Like if you flip a coin and let's say it's as simple as like, what am I going to eat for dinner? Am I going to have avocado on toast or am I going to have pasta? Whatever it is, and you really can't decide. Like let's use that as a very basic example. You flip the coin and you get avocado on toast. You're like, oh, I really wanted. It shows you wanted that other thing. And do you know what I mean? There's no right or wrong way, I don't think. Like regardless if you do something and it goes wrong, doesn't mean it's wrong. It means it's part of you to learn something. Like I've the business I run now, this is like the I think 11th business I started. Now, I wouldn't go back and this would have been my first, because I had to do all these other businesses. And don't get me wrong, none of them were successful. One started to like actually do well, but I ended up dropping out because I didn't enjoy it. But if I didn't go through all those things and have people tell me, why are you doing this? Like, why are you doing this? And I just want to make loads of money. I want to be rich and famous. That was it. And then I started to have that, the spiritual awakening. And when I had that, I went all sort of monk mode. I literally didn't want to make money. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to speak to people. I just wanted to go and meditate with monks in mountains. That was literally my vision. I was like, I'm going to do that. I don't care. And then I went to Peru and went to do ayahuasca, and that sort of hit me in the face so hard that I came a bit back to the 3D, the physical world, and sort of said, well, why can't I do both? And so, yeah, I don't know if I would say it's a definitive way. I suppose it could be used that way, but I suppose getting your mind quiet and literally asking your gut. And I suppose if you look at it from the chakra point of view, which chakra is related to your gut, it's going to be the sacral or your solar plexus. I'd probably go towards the sacral. Asking for the answers. And when you're in such a quiet state of mind, again, the answers are out there. And it's like Joe Dispenza talks about the unified field. Like, the intelligence of you learning a new language is out there. Tapping into that energy, taking the action, gets you the result. You successful, famous, rich, happy, healthy, wealthy, it's already out there. And it's like they say, like when they the theory of time, of how everything's like happening in the present moment. Like your past self, your future self. I don't know if you've seen the examples where they say time is linear, and it's like, no, time is I can't remember the word they use, but they literally flip it on its head, and the past you's here, the present you's here, and the future you is here. So it's all happening at the same time. It's just changing your energy. And just like tapping into a different frequency on, like, you know, the old radios where you tune the frequency, or even in a car, you turn the, 95.8 is capital, 100 is kiss. Like if you go 100.5, you don't get a good clip. You don't get a clear signal of kiss because it's not the right energy. And it really is about being very definitive with where you tap into. Do you want to be on love? Do you want to be on shame? Do you want to be on grief? Do you want to be on stress? Like, where are you tuning yourself to? And then that's where it comes down to the daily things that you do and being conscious of those.
Wow.
So interesting. I do definitely want to talk about your experience with ayahuasca. But also, I just wanted to ask you as well, because I feel like I always see a lot of, obviously, like, to become this future version of yourself, you have to visualize and become that person. But then also in Dispenza's work, he talks a lot about how the importance of becoming no one to become something. And I feel like this is where it gets a bit confusing, because you're like, who am I even meant to be becoming, like, when you're visualizing? But I've noticed when I do that breath work, when I like experience that feeling, I do feel like I go somewhere. Like, I don't feel like I am anyone, if that makes sense. But do you know, like, what is behind that? Like, the importance of becoming no one to manifest who you want to become?
Do you know what? I've never actually been asked that question, but I have the answer for that. Like, literally, as you said that, I was like, I actually know that. That's actually one thing I can say. But basically, the goal is to disconnect from who you are right now. So essentially what you're doing is, how do you replace a wheel of a car? You take the old one off and you put a new one on. How do you replace your old self with your new self? You take the old one off, there's nothing there. Then you put the new one on. That's literally what it is. Like, how do you do anything? How do you put on shoes? If you've got two pairs of shoes, let's say you've gone out for a run, then you've had a shower and then you're going out for the night. You're not going to wear your gym shoes out with you, or you're not going to wear your gym shoes in the shower, I hope. But what you're doing is you take the old off, you disconnect from the old, and then you say, what is it I want to wear? And you're literally, when you put, like, if you're going out, you'll literally think, what am I going to wear? I'm going to wear that top, those trousers, them shoes. Yeah, no, that'll look good. Then you try it on. Oh, no, that doesn't work. Let me try a different combination, if that makes sense. So essentially what you're doing, when he says become no one, nowhere, no thing, no time, you're disconnecting from what is your current reality. So who you are right now. So when I disconnect, the goal is to get to the point where I'm sitting there, and I know I get to that point because I'm always sitting and I go, I can't even remember which way I'm facing. Like, because when I meditate, I personally turn around on my bed, so I'm not, what's the word? I'm not connecting meditation to sleep, if that makes sense. So I'm not associating, yeah. Associating meditation with where I sleep. So I turn around and I'll sit on the end of the bed. And I've done it a few times. Now I sort of know it, but I was like, I can't even remember where I was meditating. And that's where you want to get to, so that you're disconnecting from what was, and then you're nothing. Mm. You disconnect from who you are. You disconnect from your friends, your family, your name, your age, your gender, your whatever it is. You disconnect from everything, your job role, and then you start to create again. And the key with that really is, you're, like I said, losing the old, creating the new. And part of my program, I call it release, activate, integrate. Release the past, activate who you want to become, and integrate that into your daily life. Because you can't just add more tire or add more wheels to a car. You just can't. Like, there's no space for it. And that's the way I always explain to people is, imagine your mind, your subconscious mind, like an infinite hard drive that is just full up right now with the issues that are going on in your life. Now, your mind is infinite and there's no sort of capacity. Like, you could learn every language in the world if you wanted to. Don't know why you would, but you could. But the way that I explain it is, imagine like a car park that is full up. Now, all these cars that are in each parking spot is negativity, toxic people, anxiety, depression, fear, stress. And they're all like rusty, broken cars that are just stuck in these places. Now, first, if we want to park a new, clean car in there, we have to remove the old one, place the new one in, and get rid of the old one. If you don't replace it, that old car, the way that I say it, it's just going to find its way back in because it needs to be full, if that makes sense.
As you guys have probably heard by now, I've started on my own therapy journey and I'm loving it so much so far. We are huge advocates for therapy and counseling, just that little bit of help that you need. That's why we are so, so happy that we are sponsored by BetterHelp, whose mission it is to help you start living a happier life today.
Yes, healing is the new cool, and Abby is leading the way, leading by example with her own therapy journey and being open and honest with us on the podcast about it. And hopefully that's going to inspire some of you guys to take your mental health to the next level and get the professional support you need from a licensed counsellor. BetterHelp is the perfect place to do that. It's an online, secure counselling service that set you up with a therapist in under 48 hours. All their therapists have a huge range of expertise, so no matter what your problem is, whether it's anxiety, depression, grief, OCD, you're just feeling blocked and you've got a lot of limiting beliefs, you're feeling unconfident, you need to work through some things, whatever it is, there's somebody on that platform that is the perfect match for you. And even if it turns out that you don't like the therapist you get matched up with, you can actually change for free as many times as you want until you find the right one.
Yes, BetterHelp is just such an incredible company. And the best thing is that it's all done from the comfort of your own home. It's all online. It's all really accessible. It's such a great option. The only reason I didn't do BetterHelp was personally because I wanted to do energy healing in person, which is just a kind of whole different ball game. But if you do want that therapy and you do want that little bit more help with your own mental health, then BetterHelp is an incredible option. And you can see how well it works because you can go and look at the incredible reviews at betterhelp.com/reviews and get a feel for what everyone is saying. What did they really get from BetterHelp?
Yes, there's over a million people using BetterHelp today, and it's a service that is available for clients all over the world. So wherever you are right now in the world listening to this podcast, BetterHelp is accessible to you. It's so easy to set up an account. Just fill out a questionnaire. That's how they get the picture about who you are. Then they match you with the therapist in 2 days. You can contact your therapist at any time and you will always receive a really quick response. You can easily set up weekly video or phone sessions with your therapist. And if you're not comfortable with doing therapy with actual verbal speaking, you can do it via email or on a chat box. However you feel comfortable to communicate with your therapist and get the support you need, they will work around you.
Not only that, BetterHelp are way more affordable than your traditional offline counselling, and they are kindly giving our listeners 10% off your first month of therapy. So it's going to go from around £50 per week to around £40 per week. So if you do want to access that discount and start your own therapy journey, you can head to betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. That's betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. And we will leave the link in the show notes if you want to get started on your own journey.
Yes, there's no shame in therapy. It's literally just like taking your mind to the gym, and you are so worth investing in to get support if you need it. But that's all for now. Let's get back into the conversation with Max.
That's so interesting. I love all your analogies.
Yeah, because you make
you're like a king of analogies.
Yeah, you make these things that, you know, people might find difficult to like comprehend, but if they can understand it, it's going to be really, really impactful. And you make it very understandable, which I like. What you mentioned, a unified field.
Yeah.
Well, I'm because obviously I've not done this Joe Dispenza meditation. Obviously, there'll be a lot of people listening that also haven't done it. What is the unified field?
Don't look at me.
Or do you know?
No, I've read about it, but obviously it's like getting your head around it. But yeah,
because we're all, you know, the beta, gamma, all those things you were saying before, we are aware of all those. We've spoken about them on the podcast before, so I feel like some of the listeners will definitely be aware. And they've started to listen to actually read Joe Dispenza's books from what you were talking about in the episode the other day. But so unified field, we've not mentioned that for, I don't know what it is. So what is that?
So again, I'm not claiming that I know this to a T, so I could be completely getting this wrong, but I like to say, well, Joe Dispenza said it, and just because I love Joe Dispenza so much, from my present state of ignorance, because I could be completely wrong, it's sort of like, have you heard of like the quantum field and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's deeper than that. And on the spectrum, I was doing some research on this, and it was on the spectrum. It goes like the quantum field. Then there's another field. I can't remember what that one is. But basically when you like move down the fields, the unified field is just everything to my knowledge. It really is just everything. Like everything is in the unified field. Then within the physical realm, there's the quantum realm. Within the quantum realm, there's this realm. Within that realm, if that makes sense. And it really just sort of, it's the intelligence that is everywhere. So like I said, about tapping into your healthier self, your happier self, your confident self, is sort of where time is the myth at the end. Obviously time is relative on Earth. It's relative because in order to, for us to start this podcast, to finish this podcast, there has to be time in between for it to make any sense in the 3D, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But when you move into the other realms, like they don't operate as we do. So in the quantum realm, it doesn't actually operate as the real world. It just doesn't. And like quantum physicists, like I've done a little bit of research on it. I'm not, again, as I said, I don't know too much about it, but from what I know about it is it just doesn't act as the 3D world. It doesn't. Like if you've ever heard of the double slit experiment, if anyone that is listening, I definitely go and recommend to watch it, but it basically says that everything acts as waves instead of matter. And matter being something you can't put your hand through versus waves of energy. But when they found out that everything is made of energy, theoretically you could, there is a possibility that you could put your finger through your phone. Now it's like, I don't know the exact percentage. It was literally like ridiculously near to impossible, but theoretically it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been studies that have done it. Like if someone was touching a wall enough times, their fingers could go through the particles and they could go through the wall without breaking it. But again, like it's a bit of sidetrack of what I was going with. But the unified field itself, from what I understand, it really is just where everything that you desire, everything you want to create in your life is already there. But it doesn't operate in the way that we do.
Yeah.
So it's not like a picture that you can just pick up and put in you. It's not like a stone that you can pick up and put in your pocket. It doesn't actually make sense, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
it doesn't work right. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't work. I don't think I've got the words to actually explain how it works. But there are like physicists and people like that actually like make more sense of it. So if anyone wants to understand that, just type in the unified field theory and you'll be able to find out a bit more about it, because I couldn't give you too much knowledge on that.
Yeah. Wow. So fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
So shall we discuss your ayahuasca experience? And what that was like? Because we've had someone who had an experience with psychedelics, but not specifically ayahuasca, where they've gone specifically like what it sounds like you've done, where you've gone away to do that ceremony. Well, obviously we hear so much about it from so many spiritual people that are online that do it and share their experiences about it, but we've never actually done it before. What was all that about? Well, like, it obviously to share as much awful. As you, your it little as you want.
Awful.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like, I'm not gonna lie. I was so I wanted to do it so badly. I got to a point in my life where I was just like I said, I just didn't want to run a business, didn't want to do anything. I was like, I just want to be spiritual. That's it. I was like, maybe I'm just not cut out for everyday life. And I'd been watching some documentaries on this and I was like, I'm really interested. And anyone that is interested in doing it, please do your research. Don't just take my word for it. And I was like, I've got to do this. So I found a retreat center in Peru and literally just flew out there and just went to this retreat on my own. And it was, obviously I was nervous. It was going into the unknown, as Joe Dispenza says, like you're going into, like, I've never done it before. I don't know what could, like literally anything could happen. And I went into the first ceremony. I was a bit weirded out with everything they're doing. Like they're shaking leaves over you, cleansing you of all this stuff. It was a bit weird. But I remember I took the first cup of ayahuasca, and so before that, you have to prepare. You can't eat chocolate for a week before. They recommend a vegan diet for the week before. That's sort of where I went vegan. You can't be intimate, so you can't have sex. There's all these different things that you can't do in order to, or they recommend that you shouldn't do, just so that you're clean essentially before you do it, because it is a purge of negative energy. And yeah, I took the first cup and I was sitting there and I just started to go like that. And I could just see everything was starting to like go like multicolored lines. And the only thing that I remember was I would look at something and I could tell you the height of it in the dimensions. Like it was literally in my physical like eyes. I could see it. And I was like, cool, that post is X tall. I didn't know how much it was.
Yeah.
But I could see it. And I thought that was weird. And then I just felt this overwhelming sensation of just like dark energy. And it just went like literally hit me like a sack of bricks. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I've been told if it comes negative, you just got to go with it. And I'm sort of sitting there just like, oh my God, I'm going to cry. And then I started laughing. Then I started crying. Then I started laughing and crying from every pore of my body. Like it was like my arms were crying. It was that weird.
Oh my God.
And then all of a sudden I just went blind. I couldn't hear, I couldn't think, I couldn't speak properly. And I was just laying there, and bearing in mind with ayahuasca you purge, so I literally threw up all over the floor. I didn't purge in the bucket, they usually give you a bucket, but I completely missed the bucket. I was out of it. And I remember that, so when I woke up I was all covered in sick on my trousers. It was nice. But it was just an overwhelming sensation. And I was laying there. I had vines going through my stomach, my mouth, my legs were coming out my stomach. I was turning inside out. I was literally laying there screaming, going, what is five? What is seven? What is this? And I'm literally just screaming stuff. And they had to get four people to pick me up and take me out, because the shamans would come over, or like the facilitators would come over and start whispering. And they'd be like, imagine someone coming up to you going, Max, you've got to be really quiet. And it's like that in my ear. And I'm like, I'm going insane. I was like, I can't deal with this. I'm going insane. I was literally like scared for my life. And then I woke up, bearing in mind it's like a 4 or 5 hour trip. I woke up and in the doctor's sort of office, and I'm looking at them like all curled up on a bed, and they're looking at me just like smiling. I'm just like, this is weird. What were you looking at? and I couldn't move. It was the rebirth of being able to move again. And I didn't know how to move. And I was scared. I was like, why can't I move? I was like, I've got to learn how to move. And I'm literally like, it didn't take long, but I was like, right, that's my left arm. That's my right arm. That's my legs. And it took me a while to sort of get my movement back. And then I believe it was that the next day we went to a church to go and help out with, like, it was like a special needs church. So these people that literally have no money, no legs, pretty much brain dead, some of them. And like, you're looking at them, you're just like, oh my God, I feel so sorry for them. But when I was in the experience, I was like, I kind of understand how you feel, because I can't do anything. I couldn't do anything for myself. And I'm sitting there just like, feel like that's what it's trying to show me, is like imagine how they're feeling. And for me, that was just like an overwhelming sense of gratitude, of just like how lucky I am to be able to think, see, talk, hear, like all those little things that we take for granted, the senses. I have them. Do you know what I mean? And then the next ceremony, took a bit less ayahuasca, didn't even trip at all. Nothing happened. And I was like, what's going on here? And I literally said to him, I was like, can I have some more? Like, I haven't felt anything. And everyone's like tripping out. And I'm literally laying there. I'm just like, eyes open, just like, I'm just annoyed. And I got really annoyed. I sort of got to the point. I remember walking out. I was like, well, maybe I'm just not spiritual. And I was just really like, sort of butthurt that I didn't get what I wanted. And yeah, so I sort of walked out. And every time I would try and walk, I would just collapse, because all my energy was just gone. It was drained. And one of the shamans, just before I stood up, actually had this liquid stuff in his hands. And he was literally like, I don't know if he was literally like sort of slurping the water going like that. And I could just feel this energy being dragged out of me. I'm literally sitting there like that going, no, stop. So I was like, stop, 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 stop. I was like, I can't do that. I can't do it. And it was literally like he was pulling a demon out of me. That's what it felt like. But yeah, and then I only did two ceremonies. So I always said I should have done a third one, but I was too scared to do a third one. I wouldn't have done it. If you offered it to me, I would not have done it. But I do know if I do a third one, I feel like I'm going to have a good experience, because a lot of people have a negative experience, a neutral experience, and a good experience. And I never got to the good one. I sort of just went in and just didn't get what I went for. But obviously, it wasn't the right time. And it took me a good while to sort of get some lessons from it. One of them being gratitude for just being able to move and function as a human. Like, how lucky is that? Like, you look at some people, they don't have arms and legs. And we take that for granted. Do you know what I mean? You don't even think, oh, I'm actually grateful for my legs. It's like, you don't even think about that, because you've just got legs. Like, we really don't think about that. And then the other thing that I learned from it was I faced probably the darkest fear possible, which is having no control. And I've always been someone who wants a level of control. And now when I go into things that may scare me, because I get nervous, I get scared at times. Whenever I go into those things, I always remind myself I've faced worse. I have faced worse.
That is absolutely fascinating. I've never heard of anybody's. I've not really spoken to anybody properly myself personally, like we are now, of someone who's experienced ayahuasca. That is literally fascinating. But for somebody who, because obviously it's plant medicine, it's not like is it drugs? Is it not? You know, like it is obviously you take it. It's doing things to you, but. You obviously had a lot of experience with drugs in your, you were saying, like when you were in that darker place. What is, because I have never done drugs. I've never been into them, and I won't ever be. That's just not me. So I've never experienced that actually being high or whatever. So what is the difference? So for some people who have, this is the first time they've ever heard of ayahuasca before, right now on this podcast, I was talking about it. And because it's making you trip and they're thinking, oh, this is drugs. What's the actual difference you feel? Cause you've obviously experienced both between, you know, like drugs that you can just get now, like wherever, cocaine, things like that, versus ayahuasca, where you're going away. It's that ceremony. It's a sacred process. What is the difference for somebody who doesn't really, who's never just gone into that world?
Interesting. I do not see it as drugs at all. I see it as, like you said, plant medicine, because it is. Do you know what I mean? It's anything that is man-made, I believe to be drugs. So even things like weed that is naturally grown, I don't necessarily see, like I don't smoke it at all, but I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing, because it grows for a reason. Do you know what I mean? Like cocaine isn't grown. Like cocaine is like made. All these drugs are made. Even things like LSD. LSD is a drug, but ayahuasca, DMT, mushrooms, like in my opinion, they're there to be used. Like, do you know what I mean? Why do we have feet? Because we walk on feet. Why do we have hands? So that we can pick things up. Why do we have ears? So we can hear things. They've got to be there for some sort of reason. Now, again, I don't recommend everyone to go and try this. Like I would always say, like, do the deep meditation and stuff like that first, because you can have those experiences without plant medicine. You can, and I've had incredible experiences without plant medicine, with just breath work and just meditation, where I've come back round and I've been like, oh my god, that was the most that was better than ayahuasca. And and you can do that, but in short, I would recommend anyone to look at it. But the difference between the high from drugs that I used to take versus that is, the high from drugs was, I suppose, manageable, versus this is so completely unknown. You don't know what you're going to get. And when you do it, they say you have to respect Mother Ayo, which is Mother Earth, ayahuasca, they say that. You really just have to respect that it doesn't show you what you want. It shows you what you need a lot of the time. So I could go in wanting to find my purpose in life, which was what I went for. I went in and I got literally punched in the face by ayahuasca. Like, stop being a big man. Like, stop trying to think you need that. Like, easy tiger sort of thing. And it showed me what I needed. And like I said, it gave me gratitude and something I'll never forget. And the way that I explain it anyway is like how trauma comes up. The reason people are traumatized is because they've been through a highly emotional experience and their mind has remembered it. And it's like you can probably remember the first time someone made you like feel really scared versus the time that you fell in love with someone, because they're highly emotional states. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's a good or bad emotional state, your mind remembers it. So what I feel like is, and what I say, in order for change to happen, we need to have some form of information and knowledge to know we need to change and know what to do. But then we need to have some sort of experience that makes us change. Change happens over a period of time, or you can have an instant sort of like shift of consciousness and go, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm leaving that relationship. I'm quitting that job. I'm starting that business. And that happens with some form of transcendental experience, which can come from plant medicine, but can also come from meditation as well. So
yeah,
the high is completely different, and it's a lot more spiritual. So even things like DMT, like that's a little bit less extreme than ayahuasca, but the body naturally produces DMT. So when people have near-death experiences, they release DMT. So if the body releases it, I personally say, well, what's the problem with taking it? Do you know what I mean? Like the body naturally has DMT, so what's the issue?
Yeah, well, you've explained that so well, because there'll be people really that don't know what ayahuasca is, and then you've just explained that so well, the differences between man-made drugs and then plant.
Tangent, so
you explained that so well, really, really well. What I was going to ask just completely gone out of my mind, because my mind's like mind blown. She's completely gone. I had a question. I was like,
while you're thinking.
Yeah, you go.
So, like, as I said, I feel like you speak, like, really well. Like, I can imagine you, this is quite off topic, I can imagine you on a stage, like, doing speeches. Like, you're going to do that 1,000%. I see it already. So this is why I wanted to ask you, who is, like, the main person that you think, like, maybe a thought leader, a spiritual leader, that you've looked up to, and what is, like, the main thing that you have took from them that was, like, changed the way you think?
Joe Dispenza, 100%. I literally, like...
I'm so glad you said that.
Everyone says, like, they're, like... You know, like women have their woman crush and men have their men crush. Everyone's like Cristiano Ronaldo, like these really fit men. I'm like, Joe Dispenza, 100%. I love him. if I could, like, and that's one thing I've always said, I guarantee you I will work with him. I don't know how, I don't know what's going to happen, but something will happen. And I'm so determined to do it. Him and Tony Robbins, them two are just my favorite people. Tony Robbins got me into all this work, but Joe Dispenza just changed the whole way I do things. The whole way I do things. Like Tony Robbins was, I want to help people be confident. I want to help people do this, 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 and this. But Joe Dispenza, I love the way how he bridges spirituality and science. And I've thought about it, like, do I want to learn quantum physics, epigenetics, all these kind of sciences? And I was like, as I said to you earlier, I don't think I do. I want to know it, but I don't necessarily want to be qualified in it, because you can get the information online. Like if I want to ask my phone, I can literally say, hey Siri, how, like, what is epigenetics? Oh, accidentally activated it. What is epigenetics? And it gives you all the information. So you can know it. You don't necessarily have to be qualified, but I suppose it depends what you want to do with it. Maybe I will in the future. But yeah, I feel like Joe Dispenza has just, I've listened to his books, because I use Audible quite a lot. I've listened to Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, Becoming Supernatural, and You Are the Placebo at least probably 4 or 5 times each. Do you know what I mean? And they're probably a good 10-hour books each. Yeah. So, and I love them. I've got Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself as well. I read that sometimes, but I listen to them every single day without fail. And what it is, it's for me, like, I'll watch the same video. So there's a few videos that I watch every day of Joe Dispenza. And even though I've seen the video 1,000 times, I would hate to know how long my YouTube watch time is. It would be ridiculous. It would probably be about 20 hours a day, I'd say. Like when I'm working, I've just got it in the background. But yeah, it really just gives me ideas, and it allows me to tap into a whole nother level of thinking. Like a lot of the stuff I'm like, oh, so if change, because that's how I got where change comes from. Information and a transcendental experience, that's what creates change. Also things like when thought and emotion, thought and emotion become one, that's when you begin to manifest. I heard that from Abraham Hicks years ago. I heard that from Sadhguru. I heard that from Tony. I heard that from all these people. But when Joe Dispenza said it, I was like, that makes sense. So if I think and I feel, if I think abundant thoughts and I feel abundant, I'm going to attract abundance. And it just makes sense. It really just makes sense. And what you said about how I simplify things, I feel like I'm a very simple person. I want things to be laid out in front of me. And when I learn something, I always try and simplify it. If I put it into my words, I can then explain it and then I can understand it. So like I said, in order to change your life, you need a transcendental experience and information. If I give you the information and tell you the perfect meditation to do for you, then you're going to get the result of it, if that makes sense. Or you do the right hypnosis, and you're going to make those changes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, what you were saying when you were like, I can see you on a stage. Yeah. I was just waiting to tell you at the end, but I was like, and we hadn't spoken about this either, we hadn't both said this, but I honestly can. And when I was watching some of your YouTube videos and stuff before the... for our interview, I was like, the way you were set, you were, I think I was watching the one about, it was like your journey. So it was like explaining your, and you were saying in it about how you wanted to have like financial abundance in your life so you can be more you, do the things that you want to do. And you were like, I don't have all of that now, but I don't need it. So then it will come in. The way you were explaining it, I was like, this guy, like how much your confidence in what it is you were saying that you see for your future and what you want. I was like, you've already got it. Like, as in, even though you haven't physically got what you were talking about now, what you were saying in that video, you haven't actually physically got it right now in your life. I am, as a person watching a video, was like, he's got it already. Like, it's real. Like, your sense of, and it's not like a, you know, an ego, cocky sense of self. It's not that at all. It's like something else. And I was like, yeah, and then when we've been speaking to you for this whole podcast, you've been so captivating. How you move, like obviously people obviously watch on this on YouTube and will be able to see that. I was like, I'm just thinking he's the next Tony Robbins or something. Like honestly, you are, like I can see it. It's amazing. It's so good.
On that, I used to be the shyest person ever. Like speaking on camera, no chance, not a chance. Like even someone would call me on the phone and I'd be like, nah, just text me. I didn't want to speak on the phone. I didn't like social. I didn't like speaking. Mm. I didn't like my voice. So editing a video used to be awful. But even when I did ayahuasca, two of the people that I stayed in contact with, they said in their trips, they saw me on stage in front of thousands of people. And I've always known that. I've always said to myself, I can't do it yet, but I want to do it one day. How do I do it? And I've jumped into things where I've made an absolute fool of myself in front of 10 people trying to explain a business opportunity that I had once when I used to do network marketing. And my mate looked at me and he went, I was nervous for you. And I was like, was it that bad? He was like, yeah, it was. And I was like, oh, well, you got to try it sometimes. You know what I mean? Yeah. And because I practice this so often in my mind, I already know, like, so my goal is to run retreats like Joe Dispenza. I've got a plan. I'm actually planning on moving out to Bali the end of this year and running retreats out there, like just in like an Airbnb and having like smaller retreats of like 7 to 10 people. I've already created that. Like that's already happened. I did a meditation the other day. I was like, no, that's it. Like I'm going to come back to this thought in time and I'm going to say, this is the villa that I was at in my mind. Yeah. And it is that thing. It's like, it's not from a place of like, oh, I'm going to do this because I'm the, it's like, created in here, it's inevitable. It really is inevitable. And like I said, I don't need it to happen tomorrow, which makes me detach from it having to happen, but also being persistent with it. Like there is not a day that goes past that I do not meditate or think about what I'm doing in my future. And that's sort of where I think the work comes into play. And when I work with someone, I can say, we can do the hypnosis, we can release everything. But if you don't do the daily things that I give you to do, the tree's going to die. And eventually the tree begins to grow itself. And like how a tree grows, when you first plant a tree, you have to water it manually. Then eventually it begins to become self-sustaining and it waters itself. It gets it from the rain. It sucks it up. It takes it when it needs it and like stores it. I don't know how trees work, but from my understanding. Essentially what it is, eventually your tree or the tree will be able to self-sustain, which are the programs that are set in stone. And then you don't have any issues of worry. Like you don't have to worry about am I abundant? It just comes. You don't have to worry, am I healthy? You just are. You don't have to worry about, am I happy? Because you just are. You don't second guess it. And eventually it will get that way. But first you have to put the work in. And like I said, I've never been in a position where I've had loads of money. And then it came to a point where I had a massive shift and I started making a fair amount of, I'd say it was decent money. And again, there's going to be another level where I look at it and I'm like, that was nothing in comparison to what I'm doing now. And yeah. and I've always wanted to be financially successful. A lot of people say, oh, you can't be financially successful. You can't, you don't, you shouldn't want that. You shouldn't desire for that because it's not spiritual. And it's like, no, that's bollocks. Like, no, what, yeah, why
you
is it
need
not?
It. You need it.
Mm. Well, yeah. it will allow me to run bigger events. Do you know what I mean? Like
exactly. Jeremy Spencer. Exactly.
It works the same way.
What you were just saying there about how you that I feel like you've just really summed up very well a really clear example of like just powerful manifesting as well, with like that mm-hmm. visualizing what it is that you want, clear as day in your mind, holding it there, knowing, like having complete unwavering faith that it exists, and you're just going to tap into that frequency when you want to make it actually come into your physical realm. And then obviously you're doing the work every day, like to actually think about it, but you're also taking aligned action every day. You're working, you're putting content out, you're doing all these things, you're doing things that are going to build you to that point where it's possible. Because obviously you can't really just sit in your room and think, I'm going to do a retreat, but then never do anything in the world of wellness or anything. Like obviously, like you have to take aligned action, but you've just given a really, really good example. I think people will then really understand manifesting on a deeper level now, where you've just, because you've just explained exactly what you do, the visualizing it and then having that unwavering faith that it's going to happen and that it already exists, and then taking that aligned action as well to make it happen. And I can see you in body, like all these things on stage. It's so funny that those people saw you in their ayahuasca trips, you on stage, because I can see it.
Yeah.
And obviously we've never even met you other than talking to you right now, so it's just, and obviously that's the energy that you're giving off, and we're picking up on it now and see it as that's absolutely factually correct and so true, that of course it's gonna happen. Like it's just crazy. This conversation's been absolutely, I think this has been one of my favorite podcast interviews.
Yeah,
it's been so interesting
that. Yeah, I can't wait to edit and listen to it. Thank back
I appreciate that. And in regards to manifesting, it really is like, I feel like that buffer period that we have is needed to say, do you actually want that? Like,
yeah,
do you
definitely.
Because realistically, if every thought manifested, I'd say probably 90% of the population would be dead, because they'd be like, oh, I can't cope with this anymore. I'd rather be dead. Like as a generic thought, not necessarily suicidal, but just as a thought, just, I just can't cope with this. Please kill me. Like we would not even be living. So we need that buffer period to also say, is it what you truly want? And when you start to get to a higher level consciousness, things manifest just faster and faster and faster. And you look at all these spiritual gurus, things happen instantly. But initially it never started that way. And I feel like that's necessary for the journey to say, all right, you say you want this, prove it. If that makes sense. And like, that's it, I want to be financially successful. All right, are you willing to sacrifice? Because realistically, if you want to make money, you need to start some sort of business. You need a podcast, you need a YouTube channel, you need something that is tangible that can make money. You can win the lottery, but even a guy I watched a video talking about winning the lottery, he won the jackpot. But he said, I was also taking action by, I started up an accounting business. So I didn't just sit there and just bank on the lottery being the manifestation of money. I knew I was going to win the lottery. I knew that for a fact. But I still worked saying, I'm going to do what it takes until I get that as well. And I feel like that was a really good example to help a lot of people understand. Yes, you can manifest millions. You can manifest the body of your dreams, the love of your life. You can manifest it all. But if you truly want it, you do whatever it takes to get it. And like you said, in my example, I'm willing to, I've just focused. I'm like, right, I'm going to try and do a video down YouTube. And it takes me a lot of time, because editing a YouTube video is not a quick process. Shooting it, editing it. And now I use two cameras, so I've got to chop them all together. So it's actually quite a painful process, let's say. But I'm willing to do that, because I'm like, I now consider myself as someone who does YouTube full time, whether I don't get paid for it or not. That's past the point. I know that the content I'm putting out is hopefully adding a lot of value. And like you said, you guys came across it, which allowed me to now share my message on your podcast. Mm-hmm. And when you start to take, as you said, aligned action, you start to create your own luck. And then the universe starts, all right, then, you do believe in yourself. I'm gonna slowly drop things into you to see how much you do continually want it. And eventually over time, the things that you do want start to come to you. But we need that buffer period to say, are you sure you want that? Are you willing to do whatever it takes?
100%. Because there's so many things that I've written down, like, I'm going to manifest this. And then, like, you look back on it a few months, you put it in your journal, you're like, I don't even want that. So, like, and that's the thing with manifesting is you might write things, that you might say you want things, but you won't get them. If the things you don't get is because you don't actually want them and they're not meant for you, like, you get everything that's actually meant for you. But yeah, like, when you're taking that aligned action, like, are you saying about your YouTube, because your YouTube content, your thumbnails, everything, it's so high quality, up there with what is the most successful YouTubers, what the level of what they're putting out, you're putting out that level. So, like, that aligned action, you constantly just reaffirming to, like, the universe. And this is when people think it's, they don't get it, whatever, but you're just reaffirming to the universe, I know that I'm worth this, and I'm willing to do everything. You're literally showing the universe that you are willing to do whatever to make this happen. So then it's like, okay, here you go, you can have it, there you go. But yeah, obviously, if you sit on your, if you sit there and say, I want to meet the love of my life, but you're not willing to go out on any dates or put yourself out there or anything, how are you going to do it if you're closing yourself off? Like, you have to open yourself up. You've got to actually put yourself, you've got to step out. You know, manifesting happens outside of your comfort zone as well, because you have to take that aligned action. That might be scary, but you've got to just do it. Like, what you're saying, you used to be shy and not want to talk on camera and find that hard, and now you're going to be the next Tony Robbins. So, like, it's
one day, one day.
No, it's amazing. You've explained so much today. It's been fascinating conversation.
Also, I wanted to say on that, like, and I appreciate you saying that about my content, that it is high quality, because you look at the amount of views I get on YouTube, and I'm grateful, and I've taken so many screenshots of this. I do not get any views on YouTube, like, literally. I get 20, 30 views a video. Like, that's painful, the amount of work I put into it. But that's another thing to say, are you willing to continue through the pain, even though you aren't getting the results you want right now? Do you really want this? Are you willing to suffer through this? And because it is tough. It's tough to not see results. Like, when you want to manifest something and you don't get it, you're a bit like, you are a bit bummed out. And you're a bit like, oh, I just want it to happen. I just want to meet that person. I want that business to work. I want this YouTube channel to work. And you start to get a bit bummed out, but then eventually it does start to work. And then you realize that you're like, no, I do deserve this. And you move to that place of deserving. And now, like, I know I deserve to be successful with YouTube because I put so much work in. That's like one video going viral. It's a different story. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, because I noticed your views on it as well. I was like, he should, like, should have more views on this level of content. But I was like, but he's still going. He's pumping it out. And I was like, I respect him for that, because so many people would be like, oh, okay, right, put out 10 videos and I've got hardly any views, so I'm just going to stop now. But that's not what it is. And that's where it's that. Because some people really just slag off manifesting, and people that are proper grafters and really work hard, you know, big entrepreneurs, they're like, what the hell is this manifesting? I didn't manifest my success. I worked for it. And it's like, like, you have. But it's about when you bridge that level of, like, keep going, keep going, keep going with your aligned action, your work, with that that belief, the vision of the future, and that faith that it's coming and it's going to happen. That's when you really powerfully manifest. It's just fascinating.
Well, I feel like we could go on all day.
I know, we talk all day.
Too longer, so no, it's been fascinating. I'm glad you said that as well, because I feel like a lot of people, when we talk about manifesting, sometimes we don't talk about those times where it does feel like a bit disheartening. But I literally thought the exact same thing. Like, I watched one of your videos, and I'm not sure which one it was, but I was like, what the hell? I was like, more people need to watch this. But one day, like, 1,000%, so many people are. And that's what's just so beautiful. I'm really grateful that you came on this podcast, because we're going to be like, well, Max came on our podcast. You know?
Future Tony Robbins is on our podcast one day, you know?
Amazing.
But that's the thing. Like, also, I see it in the aspect of, I may not have reaped the rewards from the past videos, but one day, when all of a sudden it does blow up, there's so many videos for people to watch.
Yeah.
And if you go and watch one of those videos, they are awful. The way I talk, the way I edit, the way the camera is on, it's just dreadful. And eventually, progressively, it gets better. And it's like, it's one of my favorite quotes. I've actually got it behind me. It says, you don't have to see the whole staircase just to take the first step, by Martin Luther King. Mm. And it's so true. Like, I didn't know how to edit videos. I just learned on YouTube. That's literally how I learned. I didn't spend any money. I just bought the cheapest video editing software. It took me about a week to edit my first video. Now I can edit a video in a day. And eventually I began to realize how to do all these little graphics where it pops up and you can click the subscribe button, all that little stuff, how to tag the videos, how to make thumbnails. Like if you look at my old thumbnails, they are literally awful, literally awful. Well, not that mine now are the best, but again, it's a learning process. And maybe in 2 years' time, I'll be like, what was I even doing back then? Like, that, why did I think that would work? And yeah, and don't get me wrong, I've spent thousands, absolute thousands on my education, from courses to YouTube, from courses to my business, from courses to my knowledge, so the actual hypnotherapy. I've spent absolute thousands on that stuff. And it eventually pays off, but you have to get through that phase of just knowing that one day it'll work, and I don't care how long it takes, because I won't take too much of your time, and I'm going on, but but it's like, in order to get to where you want to be, it's not a period of time. Like where you are right now, I would usually get out a whiteboard. I've got a whiteboard where I explain this, but like draw a little stick person, and where that version of you is there, and the version of you where you want to be, the version of you where you want to be has some form of information and has had some sort of experience to get them there. Mm-hmm. Does that take a year? It could do. Does that take 10 years? It could do. Does that take a month? Again, it could do. Mm. I've learned things like I originally learned hypnotherapy in 1 month. I did. Some people it takes a year. Some people it takes longer. Now it's progressively got better over time. But because I spent 8 hours a day, I stopped running the business. I spent 8 hours a day just studying. I was like, I need to learn this quick as possible, because I want to help as many people as possible, because I use like self-hypnosis. And that's what like pushed me forward, was actually putting the effort in, and then eventually it paid off.
Yeah. Wow. What a combo. Have you got any more questions? Should we go and quote the week?
I could carry on, but we'll just be here all day. But no, you've been absolutely amazing.
So we always end our episodes with a quote of the week, but then obviously when the guest comes on, we ask them to share like what is their favorite quote. What's your you've given us a lot of quotes actually in the episode, but what's your favorite quote and why do you love it?
Oh, I've got two of my favorite, but my favorite one, I actually got it tattooed on me. What is truly meant for you will not pass you if you stay on the right path.
I love that. And
what that means, I heard the quote, what is truly meant for you will not pass you, but then I added the last bit because I was like, yeah, but no. Because yeah, you could say what is truly meant for you will not pass you, but if you go and sniff cocaine 5 days a week, you're not going to be happy, healthy and successful. You're not. Mm. So I was like, as long as you stay on the right path. And I just really think the reason I like that is it's about doing the right things every day. If I want to be successful on YouTube, post every day on YouTube. So originally I posted once a week, so that's 52 videos a year. If I post twice a week, that's 104 videos a year. If I post 7 days a week, that's 365 videos. Like that's what, well, I don't even know, like 10, well, not 10, how much? I don't know, maybe like 6 or 7 times the amount I would do in a year usually, I can do in 1 year. So it makes more sense if you want to get the results. So yeah. Anything you want in life is going to happen as long as you stay on the right path.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, beautiful.
Very nice quote. So, Max, everyone's going to want to come follow you now. They're going to want to watch your YouTube and get involved in your 7-week transformation course. So where can everybody find you? How can they come and work with you? How can they come and do your course and all that stuff?
Definitely. So if you type in Max Hindle on Google, you'll find me, like all my stuff anyway. But my website's maxhindle.com. And that can, I always do a free 30-minute call with people just to sort of see if I'm the bridge for where they are to where they want to be. You can find me on any social medias, mainly Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Just type in Max Hindle, you'll find me, or at Max IM1111ON. It spells Maximilian, but I couldn't take it on Instagram. It was taken, but it's got 1111, which is the angel alignment numbers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I love that.
But yeah, okay, that's pretty much it. And then, yeah, my programs run over a 7-week period. And like I said, it's about actually helping people change, not just staying on for years upon years.
Yeah.
I always say to people, we work until we get the results done. If it doesn't happen in 7 weeks, then we work until it's done.
Yeah. Okay, amazing. Great. Well, we'll link your Instagram, your YouTube, your website, everything in the show notes so that people can go down there and find you very easily. But thank you so much for your time. This has been such a powerful conversation. My energy's been flying. This has been such a good episode. I'm really excited to see where you go because,
yeah.
I mean, I can already see it now in my mind, but I'm excited to see it happening. You're going to have like a net, you know, like Tony Robbins and Brene Brown, they've all got like a Netflix.
Yeah.
You're going to have one of them talking on there.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love to.
But yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been amazing.
That's my pleasure. It's absolutely my pleasure. I've enjoyed speaking to you both. You've shined some light on me as well, so thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's conversation. I hope your mind is as blown as ours was when we finished speaking to Max. Like we said, we could have gone on for hours, and hopefully we'll do a podcast again with him in the future because I just feel like there's more things that we didn't cover today. But it was such a great conversation. I really hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, I feel like we're already lining him up for another episode. He just has so much wisdom inside of him, and it's just so nice to listen to. So I really hope you all enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed talking to Max.
Yes, and if you want to connect with Max, follow him, consume his content, maybe start working with him on his 7-week course or do some hypnotherapy with him, then you know where to find him. We've left all of the links to his Instagram, his website, his YouTube. Everything is in the show notes. You can just go through there and get following Max. But thank you so much for listening, everybody. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, you know what to do. Hit subscribe so you never miss our episodes. We release them every single Wednesday and on a Sunday. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit follow as well so you don't miss them on there.
You probably would have heard throughout this episode us talk an awful lot about meditations and affirmations, so do not forget we do have our own meditations which we have designed ourselves from all the little tips and tricks that we've enjoyed over the years through meditation, and also our affirmations to rewire your subconscious mind. So we have a whole range of different topics, so if you do want to go and check those out, you can head to fanyourfeetpodcast.com and you'll find our full range of affirmations and meditations.
And if you guys want to connect with us further, come and follow us on Instagram at Finding Your Feet Podcast. That is where we are every day of the week. You don't need to wait until every Wednesday and Sunday to hear from us. Come and follow us on Instagram and join our community. We absolutely love speaking to you guys. So hit us up in the comments, in the DMs. We love chatting back to you, hearing what you think about the show. Let us know what you thought about this episode. And yeah, we'd love to speak to you. So come and follow us at Finding Your Feet Podcast.
Yes, a defo, come chat to us. And lastly, if you do love a little boost of inspiration, we have our Monday morning mailing list where we email you a little download from our soul to boost you up on your Monday morning. So we will leave the link in the show notes if you do want to sign up for our Monday morning mailing list.
And finally, if you're watching on YouTube, hit subscribe, like the video and leave us a comment. Let us know what you thought. And if you didn't know that we had a YouTube channel, we put all of our big Wednesday episodes up there. The channel name is Finding Your Feet, the podcast. The link to subscribe is in the show notes. But yeah, you can watch us as well as listen to us. But thank you so much for listening, guys. Really, really hope you enjoyed this episode and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.